Welcome to the show. I'm Jesse Wilkins.
I'm Rob Coakley.
This is Stack and Smash Radio. This week we bring back fantasy football expert Nick Lesegor.
We're going to talk about Tom Brady. And guess what else we're going to talk about, people? Sharknado 3. It happened. It was great. It was amazing. There were sharks in space.
That's what
and Tom Brady. He wasn't in space.
Tom Brady was not in space. This episode of the show is
Do you think Tom Brady should go into space and have a chainsaw? Do you think that would solve everything? Because I do.
I think that's where this is going. That's why they've been prolonging it.
Yeah. They're getting the shuttle ready.
Trying to put a space program together.
Yeah.
This episode of Stack Smash Radio is brought to you by Jack DeBoss Brewing Company. The Jack DeBoss Jacktoberfest is coming out soon. Many, many gallons of that. Visit facebook.com/ 10 of them.
Which there is
like 100 of them. So if you're in the Plymouth, Massachusetts area, you can pick yourself up a 6-pack or a 7-pack.
Yeah, we're doing the 7-pack, right?
The 7-packs, yeah. Of Jack DeBoss beer, the Jacktoberfest, should be delicious. Facebook.com/JackDeBoss, Instagram.com/JackDeBoss. Let's get into the show.
Woo!
And now it's time for Stack and Smash Radio.
Amazing sales clerk checking out my pack. Not part of the Jody Foster fan club anymore that I created.
Hey, that's me and this man.
I just have a very hard time expressing my emotions, and I can't stop from yelling.
So Nick Lesegor joins us today, the fantasy football podcast extraordinaire man from Dirty Water News. What up, Nick?
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
No problem. I mean, Nick was pretty damn upset that we didn't have him on the last time that we talked sports, so.
I mean, yeah, you weren't talking football or anything.
I was afraid our friendship would end if I didn't bring you on this time.
Lucky for you, the friendship continues.
We have to hit on this big controversy. Sharknado 3, does April live or does she die?
I mean, I think they put it to vote, and I think it's pretty cool that you get to not only decide whether her character dies, but whether her career dies, because there's no way she's going to be in anything else. I would vote April dies.
I think you vote that she lives, because she's so bad in these movies that...
They all are, though. They're purposely bad. I don't think she's trying to be bad. I think she just is
That's
bad.
What I'm saying. Yeah. Ian Ziering, the main guy, clearly knows what he's doing at this point.
Yeah, he knows it's a joke.
Like, you noticed his transformation from the first movie to the third one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in fucking space with a lightsaber chainsaw cutting sharks in half.
That's true. You know what's funny is that, like, through the first 45 minutes of that movie or so, I was, like, into it. I'm tweeting about every scene, and it was fun. I'm like, oh, this is so ridiculous. And then, like, every other Sharknado, I just zone out. I'm watching, but I'm just not paying attention anymore because it just got so stupid. And then, like, all of a sudden, I blink, it's the end of the movie. I'm like, oh, they're in space now. How did that happen? I didn't follow this timeline. I just zoned out because, like, there's only so much stupid movie you can take.
Well, obviously, they met David Hasselhoff, who is Finn's father, Gil.
Ah, yeah. The Finn Shepherd and the Gil Shepherd.
And he's an astronaut.
I think we've talked enough about this movie.
We haven't, though,
at all. The controversy at hand is the NFL handed down their punishment. Obviously, everybody knows that at this point, and the suspension stands for Tom Brady. 4 games. And, you all right?
Nick is ruining this podcast.
He's going to tear this podcast apart one piece at a time. So, let's start with you, Nick. Do you have
any pots and pans you want to bang on real quick before we jump into this?
Mike's a little too high for your boy. I got to, like, cozy up to Rob to get in. What are you saying, Jess?
What's your takeaway so far from what did you expect the ruling to stay as it was? Did you expect it to get reduced? What did you expect?
You know, I didn't really know what to expect. You heard different things every day. It was something different. So,
right. You
know, it was just one of those things where, like, you know, one analyst would say it's 4 games and another analyst would say there's no doubt that it's going to be, you know, reduced to 1 or 0. So, you know, I guess, you know, the past 2 weeks it was more or less people saying that it would be 4 games before it was 0 games.
Yes, and a lot of it was coming from the reports that Roger Goodell was being pressured by other owners.
Right, which...
Mainly the ones that were bitching about it in the first place.
That lost in the playoffs, right.
Yeah.
And And if somehow you aren't familiar, it's the Colts and the Ravens owner, Steve Bisciotti, and then the guy
and
over there.
Probably the Jets organization. Cause,
which I don't doubt. But you can't kind of can't go throwing that type of, you know, rumors around. So for now, as far as we know, it was those two
owners.
Definitely
the Colts, definitely the Ravens. And who were the two that initially brought the whole thing up anyways.
Right. I mean, I would say in the grand scheme of things, that's really minor. Now it's a situation where it's a blame game between both sides. And, you know, whether it's Brady, Brady came out and had a statement today and exonerated not only he himself, but he said, you know, the ball boys had no wrongdoing, anyone in the organization. And then this whole idea that, you know, Brady, broke his term, ruined his cell phone, destroyed it to not give it to Ted Wells. And,
which is a load of horse shit, by the way. And here's why. You know, they came up with their excuse about, you know, I got a new phone. The NFL never asked me for the phone. They said I would never need it, which is all well and dandy. But not only that, it's in the report now that it's out there that they did give the NFL Tom Brady's phone records. So now that's there, and the NFL just said we don't want it now because it didn't fit their narrative.
There's different arguments to each side of it. So, you know, Brady gave, you know, 10,000 text messages worth of information to, you know, the NFL. But the NFL said, the defenders of the NFL, pretty much anybody that doesn't live in New England, said, well, how do you expect these guys to sift through 10,000 text messages? Well, I mean, to a degree, the
sure,
Brady support.
Sure, but that's what you wanted. What do you expect Brady to hand over? All right, here's the 10 text messages that I talked about deflating the football. This is what you wanted, so have these. How about you paid $5 million or whatever you paid for Wells to go through and do this big, stupid horseshit investigation? How about paying 10 people to go through 1,000 text messages each? That's not that much to ask for. And it's like, this is what you wanted. So you got, not only did you get what you wanted, you got more than what you asked for. So be happy, because that's going above and beyond cooperating, right? Like,
sure,
not only here are some text messages, here's everything. So that's not just cooperating, that's going above and beyond cooperating in my eyes. You know, if it's true, if that's what's actually happened, and I've heard a few reports about that where it's like, not only did he give up his information, he gave up more of it. And that's all they asked for in the Wells report. Ted Wells said in the Wells report, you know, like, that he didn't have to give him the cell phone, he just needed the records, and that would be enough. I have the actual quote, I'm going to pull it up. So, where's the lack of cooperation there?
Right, and you know, I tweeted yesterday a few things. Just we all have things to hide on our phones in one form or fashion that we don't want other people seeing.
I don't.
Most of us do. You know, whether it's text messages, pictures, whatever. But I just think it's one of those things that, you know, if whether you're Tom Brady or you're me, you know. Do you want to give your phone over to an entity, a business that has been known to bungle these types of situations before, and they've been known to trip up and release information that shouldn't be released? If I'm Tom Brady, I don't trust the NFL or Ted Wells. Independent investigator, my ass. The way I see it,
he's an employee of the NFL.
Well, the NFL hired him, so.
Yeah.
There wasn't much independent investigating, in my opinion, from what I read. And if I'm Tom Brady, I'm not giving up.
Independent, yes. Non-biased, no. You know, so
here's the actual. You have to look at it with a clear mind on both ends, and I don't think that Ted Wells did that.
Absolutely not. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. So here's the actual quote. Yee said that it was not until February 28th that an associate of Wells sent an email request for the information on Brady's phone, and they emphasized in the email that they did not need the actual device. Yee added, Yee also pointed to Wells' remarks from his May conference call after issuing his report when Wells stated that Brady could keep his phone. He said, quote, I want to be crystal clear. I told Mr. Brady and his agent I was willing to not take possession of the actual phone, end quote, Wells said to the media. Wells also said Brady's team could turn over documents related to the investigation, and I will, quote, take your word for it, end quote. So that was a complete lie, or Roger Goodell just didn't care about that, or it didn't fit their narrative. Because this has been a setup from the beginning. and they're taking whatever headline they want. Okay, so out of all of that, out of that entire thing that I just read, what the NFL decided to choose to make a headline out of was Tom Brady's destroyed phone. Boom. There's your headline. There's your smoking gun. Now all of a sudden Tom Brady looks guilty. No one's going to take the time to read the whole story, but if you take that out of context, which is what this whole report has been, is taking things out of context and making it sound bad, that this is what they took out of that report. Tom Brady destroyed cell phone. It's 2015. That doesn't matter. Everything is accessible. All right? Aaron Hernandez destroyed his cell phone. They tracked him footstep by footstep where he was that night.
Here's the only difference with that is that they subpoenaed the phone records. They can do that under federal, you know, jurisdiction, federal
law. If it's a criminal case.
The NFL can't go to the AT&T subscriber and say, listen, we need these text messages for that Tom Brady.
Which is why this is horseshit. And here's where it goes from. Rob, did you have anything to add? No? Good.
I'm just listening to you guys just...
Yeah, before you just destroy us again like last time.
Because you guys are right to...
You got to talk in the microphone.
Whatever. Just talk.
Problem solver. Yeah. Anyways, so there's that. And then what it comes down to now, and here's why, and we'll get into this a little bit more deeper into the conversation. I think Tom Brady will be fine at court because now at this point, here's where people get, they're getting it confused. They think that, okay, now it's going to court. Now this whole science thing's going to be brought into it. They're going to open up a can. They're going to subpoena Tom Brady's phone. They're going to go through all this. They're going to prove that Tom Brady is guilty of letting air out of the footballs. Guess what? That's not the argument that's going to happen in court. Now the argument is no longer about deflated footballs. In fact, it has nothing to do with deflated footballs. In fact, the suspension has nothing to do with deflated footballs. Now it just has to deal with lack of cooperation. That's what Tom Brady's suspended for. And now Tom Brady is going into court to argue the fact, not that he deflated footballs, not that he had anything to do with it, not that he was more than generally aware, but Tom Brady is going to court now just to argue the fact that him being suspended for 4 games and not being able to get that reduced is unfair, which I think he has a great shot of winning for a few reasons.
Not only that, he's going to contest the whole process of how everything played out and why he feels as though he wasn't given a fair shake.
Exactly, and that's all he has to win.
It's more than just... It's more than just a suspension being fully upheld. It's just the how the whole process played out.
Exactly. He just has to be able to... It's going to go to court, and they're going to decide whether or not it was fair. Which, I mean, I think anybody out there can take a look at this whole process and realize that it's not fair to go to the court of Roger Goodell, and Roger Goodell sides on the side of Roger Goodell because he's Roger Goodell. So that's not very fair. If I kill Nick and I go to court and Nick's dad is the judge, that's not going to be a fair trial. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not, all right, not even that. If I steal your car, all right, forget killing you, because if I stole your car and then went to court and you were the judge, punishing me for stealing your car, is that going to be a fair trial? No, because it's, you know, you're already pissed off.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
In this case, what you're going with, if that was the way it was going to be, you signed a contract saying that it was okay for
him. Of course.
No. To be that.
So I'm not arguing.
So that's the problem.
Right.
That's the biggest problem.
Okay. Is that under the rules of the CBA? Okay. But now we're going into all of the times up to this that Roger Goodell violated those rules as well. A player has never been suspended for deflating footballs. Tampering with footballs is like a $30,000 fine. So that's unfair.
Hang
on. Let me go through. Yeah, and that's what they're going to argue, is that it's unfair. The other unfair thing that happened was they have also never suspended a player, not for 1 game, not for 2 games, not for 3 or 4 games. They have never in the history of the NFL suspended a player for not cooperating with an investigation or obstruction, or whatever they're calling the cell phone thing, which, by the way, the cell phone has nothing to do with the NFL. So those are two things right off the bat. I think there's a couple other that Roger Goodell completely violated the CBA as well. So you have two hard things right there that are just that those happened. There's no arguing that these are that's just facts. That it definitely seems like it's an unfair, you know, he's being unfair, which violates.
He's making it up as he goes along is the problem.
That is the problem.
But the problem is the CBA skewers to his side of things, that he can make it up as he goes along. So that becomes the biggest issue of this
whole
thing.
Is that actually, like, isn't it that he can just make it up as he goes along?
I mean,
well, no.
It doesn't say that in those words, but essentially, if you break it down, he's judge, jury, executioner, and CBA is built around that.
Right. They signed off on it.
And
that is their
own fault. Was signed off on, and that's the players' union's fault.
100%. Okay?
So that becomes your biggest problem. So do we all think in this room that the Brady stuff is kind of BS and bogus? Obviously. I don't know how much court's going to change it. And the problem with court is if anything minuscule is found out that Brady was in the wrong of, image is blown.
Yeah.
Well, no. The problem is his image is already blown.
Well,
the damage.
Because if he goes
to court and wins, it's still hurt, but it's recoverable.
Yeah, because
if it's not. It's not, and here's why. Because any NFL fan knows why they're going to court. It's not to exonerate Brady for the deflation of footballs. It's like we just said 2 minutes ago. It's not because of that. Any NFL fan knows that's not a Patriots fan. Any legitimate NFL fan knows that it's because they're trying the process. This isn't about Brady and deflated footballs anymore, guys.
Right.
This is about the process. So Brady's, you guys,
at the end of the day, the Patriots organization,
anyone
organization
outside of New England thinks Brady is a cheater.
Of course,
and that's
of
what
course.
They're always going to think.
But on paper, because,
especially with this cell phone stuff coming out that he got rid of the cell phone, it just doesn't look good. And I understand.
Of course it doesn't look good. And the reason it doesn't look good is because the NFL is trying to make it not look good. Now,
right.
Let's be honest here. It comes down to when we're arguing with people on Twitter, when we're arguing with people on Instagram, when we're arguing with a guy in a bar room.
When you get blocked from an NFL writer.
Yeah, instantly. Anyways, if you are going to argue on the side of Brady, all that has to happen in this situation is for the people that know what they're doing, the people that are not biased, which is the court system, is for them to just get rid of the suspension. And then guess what happened? Yes, Brady's name dragged through the mud since the Super Bowl. All this nonsense. But at the end of the day, Brady ends up being not punished for being generally aware of deflating footballs, because when it went to the hands of people that knew what the hell they were doing and knew what they were talking about and know what fair actually is and wasn't biased, hopefully, then he wasn't guilty. Not guilty is fine with me. And the fact that Robert Kraft fucked up and took the penalty for the, you know, or he accepted the penalty from the NFL, that sucks. But they're fine also just for not cooperating with an investigation.
But, I mean, now you know why he did it. And I think everyone suspected
we all knew that's why he did it.
In the first place.
I think the biggest problem for the NFL right now is now that it's going to court, when's that court date going to happen? And there's going to be injunctions. So I think Brady's going to be on the field opening night.
I hope so.
The whole country is going to be watching because it's the only game on. It's a Thursday night, right?
I think so.
And it's at New England.
Yep.
So that's going to be the loudest crowd. Like, it's going to be not good for
It's going to be great for the NFL.
Well,
this whole thing has been great for the NFL. The whole report came out, and they were basically pitching it as a prize fight. Like, oh my gosh, it's the bad guy Seahawks against the cheating Patriots, in my opinion.
And not that, because I know this podcast is pre-recorded, but Albert Breer, as of 9 minutes ago, tweeted, had a couple lawyers review Brady's suit for me. Feeling I get is he's got multiple avenues to play in week one and good shot at doing that. So good. I think that's been the conventional wisdom here, with us three. But I've always felt that way, is that if he did appeal it, you know, he would play week one. Now, that's obviously not guaranteed, but that's something that it seems to be likely.
People, and especially on Sports Talk, everyone's bringing up the timeline of events. Like, well, why didn't Brady just come out and say, yeah, I messed up, I took the top off? Because, all right, when did they find out about this? Right after the AFC Championship game. What Brady risks by coming out and saying that at that time was maybe getting suspended for the Super Bowl. Can't do it, all right? Then it all comes around, and this whole report comes out, and then it's like, Robert Kraft come out and say, we're just going to wave the white flag? Because it created a better situation for Brady. Why didn't Brady come out before all of this and put the big Facebook post up that he put up today saying, I am innocent, and here's the reason? Because if he had to strike a deal with the NFL, he may have had to accept some guilt, and if it was going to mean zero games, then cool. But then if he's going to admit some guilt, that means he admitted that he lied in the beginning, and he can't do that. because then he's a liar and a cheater.
The thing I think it's going to be tough for the NFL to prove to a court, and as we've found out within the past few hours, is that Judge Richard Kyle is supposedly going to be the judge, and they actually got the case moved to Minnesota, which is very, I think, Democratic, so it's pro-players union.
Yeah, good. They were either going to try the case in Massachusetts or Minnesota. That's
it was New York or Minnesota, I think.
No, they were looking at Massachusetts or Minnesota because
They initially filed it with New York. NFL did.
That's where the NFL headquarters
is. Right, but the players union always wanted to move it to Minnesota because that's where they always move all their cases to.
So apparently, ideally, so Judge Richard Kyle, but this is also the same judge that was initially assigned to the Bountygate situation. He recused himself, and that's how it got to this judge Doty, who is apparently very pro players union.
Yeah.
So this guy Richard Kyle is apparently pro NFL, is from what everything I'm reading. So
oh great,
right. So it's in Minnesota, but pro Kyle, but also this judge, like I said, recused himself from the Bountygate scandal. So it's going to be interesting to see how that situation plays out. But kind of forgot where I was going with that. We were talking about something else, but yeah. So Justin, also something else that I think you guys are going to be interested in knowing, that wasn't sure if you were privy to, is Ben Volen recently tweeted the Brady lawsuit. Now this is from Brady's lawyers, and it suggests that, quote, the purportedly independent Wells report was edited by Pash, who is the NFL's general counsel, before its public release. Now that's very interesting. If that indeed is true. That I think his name is Jeff Pash. I'm not sure of the first name, but it might be Jeff. He's the NFL general counsel. He's the lawyer for the NFL, I think. And apparently this, what Brady's lawyers are accusing the NFL's lawyers of doing is looking over the Wells report and editing it before it was released. Just your initial thoughts on that.
I don't know.
There's so much crap throwing, right?
There's so much. I think
it's a lot of it was your fault, you know.
I think all Brady should have said at the end of the day is, yeah, I like my balls deflated to the league minimum. Whatever happens at that point, I'm not responsible for. Done, right? That's all you should have to say right there. Like, does that make sense to you? Like,
the tweet that Ben Volen put out a couple of hours ago was that the Brady lawsuit from his end. His lawyers are accusing or suggesting that the NFL's lawyers edited the Wells report before they released it. So Jeff Pash, I think it's Jeff, but okay. Jeff Pash is the NFL's general counsel, which means he's the NFL's lawyer. He's a lawyer for the league. Apparently, and this is a direct quote from the Brady lawsuit, the purportedly independent Wells report was edited by Pash, the NFL's general counsel, before its public release.
That's incredible. How does he know that?
The lawyer for Brady, I mean, it's a good question. How does he know that? Is that just crap slinging, or is that something that it could be concrete? And if it is,
if it's coming from his lawyer, then I'm going to take that as it's concrete. If it comes from Don Yee, you don't know. I mean,
well, that's Brady's lawyer, so that's his lawyer group. I don't know. It didn't say Don Yee directly, but that's what I'm saying. Someone like, on
if
Brady's
it, if
team.
It was Don Yee has been very vocal.
Whoever wrote up the you know, the description of the lawsuit that went to Minnesota. It was filed with the court in Minnesota, and that was part of why they're suing.
Okay.
Which would be extremely interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of incriminating stuff. All right, here's the other thing. It's like when the story...
But that could be just as bad. But think of it in context. It could be just as bad as... That could be like their smoking gun. Like,
well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah that's what I'm trying to say. So that's why you got to like... There's so many things that you can skew to your side of things.
That's
like,
the
you... NFL people are going to skew the breaking of the cell phone. Like, that's the headline. ESPN First Take, ridiculous. That's where people are getting their news from. Like,
I think it's a little ridiculous that fans of either side are taking what they want and running with
that's the problem.
But they're dismissing doesn't go in their favor.
Exactly. Right. And that's been the biggest problem with this whole thing in the first place. The Brady defenders, there's some evidence out there, okay, between... what the ball boys were saying and shit like that, that's pretty sketchy. Fair enough on that?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. And then there's the other side of things as well, where people just aren't looking at the Brady side at all and giving that side any credit. So I think, exactly like you said, both sides of this, like, there's not a lot of middle ground where people are looking at it from an objectional standpoint.
Right.
It's either pro this or pro this, and I don't care what you have to say if you're not on that side. It's very political, Democrat, Republican type stuff where I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, I don't agree with you, blah, 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 blah. It's the same exact thing is the problem. And you're never going to make any type of headway if you can't just stand back and look at it from a place of like common ground.
And the other thing is, you know, I'm trying to, because I, you know, I also do the fantasy football show and stuff like that. I want people to listen to the show. So I'm trying to get as far away from.
I'm going
to
edit that out. No free plugs. I'm just kidding.
I try to see it from both sides, you know, and the thing is, like, you're not going to convince either side of anything.
And that's the problem.
Right. So you know, there's always just going to be this bickering. Is Brady, this is going to, and this is why I say Brady's legacy is tarnished forever to anyone that lives outside of, you know, the Boston area code. And it's because of everything that's come out to this point, no matter what Brady says, especially because he's a winner, and especially because, I mean, you could get into a whole conversation about how he's won so much that it just adds on to why people don't like the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Oh, of course.
So it just gives them extra venom, and this whole destroying the cell phone thing could be the smoking gun, as you say, and so could, you know, this editing of the Wells report.
Yeah.
From the NFL Players Association, here are the points that they brought up. It says the NFLPA filed an appeal today on behalf of Tom Brady in the U.S. District Court of Minnesota to vacate the 4-game suspension upheld by Goodell based on the following. Number one, there was no direct evidence in the Wells report, so the discipline was based on a made-up general awareness standard to justify such absurd and unprecedented punishment. Number two, Roger Goodell delegated his disciplinary authority to Troy Vincent, violating our collective bargaining agreement. And then as the arbitrator, he ruled on his own improper delegation, botching basic arbitration law and fundamental fairness. I don't know what the fuck fundamental fairness is. I don't know if that's a legal term. Anyways, a collectively bargained policy already exists regarding tampering with equipment that proves. I talked about this earlier, that provides only for fines, not suspensions. Troy Vincent ignored this policy when he issued the initial discipline. The policy that Vincent did apply to Brady only covers teams and team executives, not the players. The NFL once again violated the players' right to advance notice of discipline to try to justify unprecedented punishment. So basically, they weren't supposed to punish a player. They could punish the team. Maybe that's why the Patriots didn't argue it. But now, you know, they will argue it for Tom Brady.
See, but here's how you argue it from the NFL side. Is just, for example, if a player takes PEDs, that's cheating, right? In theory.
There's other rules for that, though.
Right, but it's still a form of cheating. So if a fucking player goes out there and cheats, they're not going to not punish him.
Of course.
Okay, so that is.
But this is saying because there's really no evidence that Tom Brady did deflate the footballs. They're saying that he must have been generally
aware.
So
again, it's
yep.
What
right.
side are you looking at it from?
Another point, I think this is another one that we talked about earlier. No player in NFL history has served a suspension for non-cooperation or obstruction, and in this case, the evidence is paper thin. The appeals hearing held on June 23, 2015 defied any concept of fundamental fairness and violated the principles of our CBA. And those are the points that they brought up. And it says the collective bargaining agreement provides procedures and guidelines of how the commissioner conducts disciplinary hearings in the rules applicable to players. The NFL chose to violate these principles. By pursuing this petition, our union is protecting the rights of Tom Brady and of every NFL player, past, present, and future.
Right. And that's one side of things. And the other side of things is that they don't need concrete evidence. It says it in the CBA. They don't need concrete evidence.
They need enough evidence to make it more probable than not.
More probable than not.
Circumstantial, I think, is the word that a lot of people are using.
But
to get more probable than not, that's saying that you're 51% at least. That means you have to have some actual evidence to get to 51%. You can't just do all of that on circumstantial.
Jesse brings up a good point, and it's just, is circumstantial evidence enough here to give him a 4-game suspension?
And that's the problem with the CBA. Again, but they have some evidence. It's not like they don't have anything.
They don't have much.
But they have something, and you know what I mean? They have a few things.
here's where it, and this is where
is it,
it's a little bit great because it, they're not going again. They're not going to court to prove whether or not Tom Brady knew about this. They're just going to court to say that it was unfair. So I don't know if they're going to go over the evidence. But if that court case, if this was an actual court case of did Tom Brady deflate these footballs based off of the evidence that was in the Wells report, Tom Brady's not going to jail or he's not guilty.
We all agree on that. Yeah. But that's not a court case is the problem. So.
But I'm actually correct. He's not going to jail though. We do
he's
know
definitely that. Not going to jail.
Definitely not going to jail. you could conceivably see Brady on the stand testifying. I mean, this is the path we're going down. Bill Belichick could get called. Kraft could get called. This could really turn into a big mess.
For what it's going to court for, it's not going to be Tom Brady saying, no, I did not let the air out of
right,
football.
It's
going to
be
I was treated unfairly because of this.
If they put Belichick on the stand, it's not going to be, what do you know about the footballs? It's going to be, what do you know about Tom Brady's actions with the footballs? Or
I don't even think they're going to talk about footballs. I think it's going to be, what do you know about Tom Brady's actions of trying to cover up this story
thank you. That's
and not cooperating
yeah,
with
right.
the NFL? And they're going to have, you know, weeks worth of evidence where Tom Brady did cooperate. And if that report is at all true about they actually did hand over all the 10,000 text messages, then what is the NFL even arguing? Because you got the text messages.
When did they hand those over, though?
So, they gave a date on it. It was like March something, I think.
Supposedly, this was when Brady was questioned the first time.
Okay.
That Brady's lawyers, 2 weeks before he was questioned, had told Brady that his cell phone was not needed, but they would be looking for
the
text messages. And this is why, this is what Brady explains, this is why he, at that time, switched out his Samsung phone for the iPhone 6.
And for people that are, and I didn't even want to talk about this because it's so stupid, but people that are like, well, why would he destroy his cell phone? Every celebrity on the face of the earth destroys their cell phones.
I mean,
it's just what they do.
You've got to be pretty one-dimensional in your thinking to think that it's ridiculous that somebody of that fame would not destroy their cell phone. The
idea like, what are you doing? You're not going to lose
it. There's
another report that he had another cell phone that hadn't been destroyed.
Yeah, so that goes against you.
It's
so.
kind of, but I mean, the point is, it's completely irrelevant. They didn't need the cell phone. That was the headline that they could put out to make Roger Goodell look bad. Here's what I think.
Brady only destroys every other cell phone.
Maybe.
It could be an odd situation.
Maybe he's OCD about that. Maybe he loves even numbers. The other question, here's what I think, and this is what I'm hoping. I think Roger Goodell knows he's not going to win this. And I think that he just couldn't cower on this one. He couldn't turtle. So the
save face to the NFL.
He was going
to
save face to all the other owners and say, hey, I tried. I gave him four games, and I stuck to my guns. And he just knows he's going to lose in
court.
What
can I do?
Right. Yeah, exactly. He knows he's going to lose in court. Because in everybody's eyes, and we said this on the last podcast, in everybody's eyes outside of New England, Roger Goodell is the man right now. And in New England, we all hate Roger Goodell. Like, that's just how it is. But, like, everyone's like, oh, my God, fire Goodell, fire Goodell. They're not going to fire Goodell because right now he's making 31 cities happy. The 32nd one is New England.
Well,
the city of New England.
I think
that happens to be one of the more powerful owners in the league is the one he's pissing off the
it
most.
Was.
And somehow,
I mean, I think this goes to show you that he does not have as much power as everybody thought he did. He couldn't sway Roger Goodell whatsoever, even when he waved the white flag.
That could have. I mean, I'm not sure if that's a product of the power he has, or you could, in theory, you could argue that there was a screw job in place here. You know, that Goodell had no intention. If there was a deal made, Goodell had no intention of helping out Robert Kraft. He wanted Kraft to go out in public, and that just made Goodell look even better.
In the next 5 years, is Roger Goodell the commissioner of the NFL?
Yes.
For the next 5 years?
Yeah.
No.
How long is he in contract for?
I don't know, but he's gone. He's gone.
That's what I think.
Years.
So I think this...
He's going to step down.
I think from the beginning, this has been an operation. And, you know, like I've said it before, oh, it's a sting operation to make the Patriots look bad. Not necessarily. But yes, they're the victim. But this has been an operation for Roger Goodell to try to make himself look better in the eyes of the other owners, in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of people on Twitter, you know, the NFL fans, because everyone hates the Patriots, and then the Patriots won the Super Bowl. Now everyone hates the Patriots even more. How dare they?
Well, I think my personal opinion is it's Tom Brady's one of the biggest names in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big thing.
Of course.
And now it's covering up their domestic violence issues that they're still
it
having.
It absolutely is.
And that's
yeah.
what I think it's all about.
Yeah.
Because you look at the Hardy situation.
Yeah, they're serving the same suspension right now.
The McDonald situation. It's still an epic problem in the league.
Yeah.
And nobody's talking about it right now, really. that much because they're talking about
the Because they're talking, situation. They're still talking the about though, deflated footballs.
Greg Hardy and Tom Brady, you can't compare the suspensions. One was off the field, one was on the field. One, in theory, ruins the competitive balance of the game, and then the other one is a moral compass issue.
Right.
Right.
Doesn't make either, you know, I'm not saying that
both
Brady
make the,
is...
Both make the NFL look bad, but
you
one,
understand what I'm
one
saying,
it,
that,
if it's true, one jeopardizes the integrity of the game.
For sure, and that's all I'm saying, is that that's why it's tough to compare these two situations.
But at the end of the day, everyone's going to say, like, the deflated footballs isn't a big deal. So, although...
You'd hope
it,
so.
Although it doesn't... it. Jeopardizes the integrity of the game. Everyone's going to say,
in New England, we say it's not a big deal, but everywhere else, they're coming up with their reasons of why it would matter.
Indianapolis players are saying it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's just Indianapolis. I mean,
here's the players are saying it's not a big deal. Most players are saying it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why it's going to be at the end of the day, it's going to get swept under the rug once it's over, and it's covering up their stories of the domestic
violence.
This
is going to have to be a really big rug to get swept under.
I mean, even as recently as a few days ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers players, a lot of them came out and said, we want Brady playing week one. We don't want him on the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's more of a situation where you could look at it that, you know, the Steelers want the best guy on the field so that...
Or they're just saying that because they don't think he's actually going to be on the field. So
whatever it is. Yeah. I mean, at least in public, they're not saying that this guy needs to get suspended. I mean, there aren't many guys coming out saying... You know, even Rondé Barber, I think it was either one of the Barber brothers, said way back when all this started, there was a nice quote from him that said, you know, every team does something to gain a competitive advantage,
exactly.
Something to that idea that, you know, and I had this argument with my my girlfriend's father, and he said, cheating is cheating is cheating. And I said, well, you speed every day. You speed when you're on the highway. You go 10, 15 miles over the speed limit. Technically, you're breaking the rules. You know, does that make you a bad person? Does that mean you're a cheater? No. But you can't look at something and say, this guy's a cheater because of this little thing without any type of evidence or any type of concrete evidence, just based on what you've read
or headlines. You could pick out any piece of the game and say, take this one for example. The Cardinals coach threw a red challenge flag at a time that he wasn't supposed to last year. And then he noticed that it would have been a penalty, it would have been a flag. Because he wasn't supposed to throw it. I think it was like a touchdown. It was going to be reviewed anyways. He threw the challenge flag. That's a penalty. He went, he picked it up. The ref came over. He just goes, I dropped it. You could see that. You see him mouth those words. Everyone laughed it off. If Bill Belichick did that, that would have been headlines.
For sure.
He cheated. He cheated the official. It was supposed to be a flag. Shouldn't have been a touchdown. This game could have been, the outcome would have changed. But this was, they literally laughed about it. The commentators laughed about it. So there's that. What about this? What about, and I've brought this up before, what about when a player goes to catch a football and it ends up being incomplete, but they pretend that they caught it anyways? You're cheating.
I mean,
you know it was
incomplete. Every team, there are players that do something to skirt the rules. You know,
of course. And
somebody,
it's like,
somebody on, I think it was Sports Radio, brought up this interesting point that last season, the Vikings ball boys. Now the NFL and the quarterbacks, this whole stigma behind the NFL and their quarterbacks, how the way these guys like their balls, right? You know, no ball boy would screw with a quarterback's balls without him knowing, without him giving the okay. So I guess, you know, then this story about, I'm sure you guys have heard about it, during one of the games, the Vikings, the game was so cold in Minnesota that they're heating the balls up. Now, that changed the ball in one form or fashion, whether it's the air pressure,
100%.
The way it feels, whatever. Now, apparently the quarterback, this was not something that was passed by, I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater was starting that day or whatever, but it had come out that the quarterback had no clue that this was going on. Well, let's not cherry pick here.
Yeah,
I mean,
they slapped them on the wrist and said, hey, nah.
Well, that's just heating up. No, they didn't do anything. They didn't. I don't think they did anything.
They just said, don't do it anymore.
So let's not cherry pick here. Either the quarterbacks do have control over the ball boys and how they like their balls, or they don't give a crap. It's one or the other. I mean, if you want to look at it,
I agree.
You can't go on defense of one end and then on the other we'll say, oh, well, that was just heating up balls. Well, no. I mean, that is changing the dimensions of the ball.
This is a year where teams got caught cheating and admitted to cheating, none of which were the Patriots, but the Falcons.
The Broncos in the Elway years, they manipulated the cap in such a way that they were over the cap. They were supposed to have cap penalties, but the way they manipulated the cap, it was illegal. You're breaking the NFL rules.
Yeah.
And they won Super Bowls because of it. So what, are you going to put an asterisk on
Broncos were over the cap
John
last
Elway's?
Year, too.
In my opinion,
throw it all out. I don't think any of that's cheating. If you're paying off a ref, that's cheating. if you're tripping a player that's running down the sidelines. So you deserve to be punished. But
see,
all
when
this
I think
nonsense
of cheating,
with,
I think of things that legitimately question the integrity of the game.
I don't
paying
think,
off referees, throwing games. Yeah. This is what I think of as cheating.
Yeah.
That's cheating to me.
Like there was a game, I think it was like 2 years ago, where the San Francisco 49ers could have taken a knee, ended the game. They were already winning. And for some reason, John Harbaugh, they just kicked a field goal. And it wasn't like a running up the score situation. It was the only logical explanation that they put out there. And there was some news articles about this, but he was never questioned about it or anything, was that he must have been betting on his own team because that changed the point spread. And like that made them cover the spread. It was like you could have just taken a knee, risked no injuries. You already won the football game. But you see him panic. He sends the kicking team out there. They kick the field goal. And all of a sudden, they covered the spread. So either somebody was in his ear who had a lot of money on the game, or he had money on the game. It is the literally
I mean,
the
throwing,
only
I mean,
reason.
That's I understand so, what you're saying, but you're kind of thrown out. That's kind of a wild accusation.
Exactly.
Not saying you're wrong, but I can't say – I can't support or –
you know, I mean, I don't have any proof that
right,
he was
guess,
gambling on the
right.
game, but that's the only thing that people could come up with was like, all right, well then obviously he was betting the spread. There's got
to
be
I
coaches
mean,
that there's so many secret
his,
ways to do it. I
he
mean,
wanted, he wanted to get his he, the idea, and Belichick has said this when he's running up the score, whether it's field goal, kicking, or Super Bowl or touchdowns. The idea is your defense needs to stop my offense, and if it can't do that, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm playing the game. That's on you. It's pretty much what Belichick
yeah.
said. So it doesn't surprise me that Harbaugh kicked the field goal. And the first thing I didn't think was betting. What I thought was either he wants to get his field goal kicker work, or to him, the clock's still going. He's still playing the game. So he's going to put the most points on the board as he can. I mean, yeah, you can. A lot of guys do knee the ball there, but one could argue that's a loser's mentality. You want to put as much points as you can on the board, and your job is to stop me. So block the field goal. Stop me.
Yeah.
And you also don't know any personal issues he may have had with the coach on the other sideline. Something if they don't
yeah,
get along.
Know.
I mean, there's a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Jesse's a conspiracy theorist.
Especially if it was like against like the Seahawks or something. Of course he's doing that.
Right. Oh,
of
for sure.
Of course he's
yeah.
being an asshole.
Maybe. I think that there was... I'd have to go back and look at it. I don't care
maybe
enough about
X-Files
it. But
theme to play.
I wish I did. No, I'm just bringing things up. I'm not saying I believe in it, but I remember I was watching that game and I was like, this is weird.
I think it's the equivalent of like a linebacker if he wears too small a shoulder pads. Like, it's against the rules.
Yeah, but it's
really,
like, just tell him not to do
fuck?
It anymore. Yeah,
yeah like, who
and it's funny because like everyone's like, well, Spygate. And if you look back at Spygate, that wasn't a big deal either. It was just... It's been a
but
drag.
It was a precedent is the problem.
So
that is the problem, and for some reason the Patriots have to be the scapegoats.
This
on those
is what
kinds
I
of things.
This is what I compare it to. Ryan Grigson is the GM for the Colts. This whole Deflategate situation is equivalent to, and this is a true story. Not sure how familiar you guys are with this, but this is a true story. This is the equivalent. This Deflategate and Ryan Grigson. This is the equivalent of a guy that goes to Starbucks every day, gets a coffee there every day, and for a certain amount of time, I think it was just a full day, anybody, he would stand outside, and anybody who parked in the handicap spot out front, he would confront them in the store, in the star. He'd wait till they got out and confront them in the Starbucks and tell them, that is not your spot. That's a handicap parking spot. I didn't see a placard. I didn't see a sticker. I didn't see anything. You need to move your car.
Right.
Now, if I'm somebody sitting in line, and I parked in the handicap spot, and this guy's confronting me, I'm looking at him, dude, F off. Well,
yeah.
Get away from me
yeah.
before I deck you. What are you doing? Get away from me, you hall monitor. You know, this is the same guy.
Nick
that
has a right to park in the handicapped spot without a sticker.
That's right. But
that's
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the equivalent of what it is. It's a tattletale.
I know what you're saying. You're saying fuck the handicapped, and I understand that.
This is why I don't come on the show. This is why I don't come on the show.
It's actually a great analogy because that guy's going to come in there and berate you. But everyone else is going to think you're the asshole for
absolutely.
Parking in the handicap spot.
Yeah.
So it's actually a really good analogy.
And aside from, you know...
Now stop talking before you fuck up the end of your...
I know.
...appearance.
All right, have a good rest of the show.
We'll see what happens in court. Like I said, I think Brady wins. I like his chances. I think it's hard to argue that the NFL was not unfair.
I don't think it's as easy a victory as a
I don't think it's a layup, but I think it is going to be harder to prove that the NFL was fair than it would be to prove that the NFL was unfair. It'll be much easier to prove that they were unfair than fair.
Question. Would it surprise either one of you if he plays out the entire season?
No, I think
without a resolution.
That's what I think might happen. Is it's going to go to court, and it's going to be injunctions, and it's going to be delays, and it's going to be this and that and the other thing.
I could see Brady's team doing whatever they can to delay it.
Yeah,
to the end of the
absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely, and then it gets delayed till next year,
and then Brady retires after the fifth Super Bowl.
Wouldn't shock me.
It just keeps getting delayed for four more years.
Wouldn't that
and
be
the
great?
The 48th injunction has been...
Tom Brady accepts his penalty at age 62, and he will now serve his suspension unpaid.
They will take his plaque out of the Hall of Fame for 4 weeks.
Well, Nick, thank you for being on the show.
No, thank you for having me. If I could just plug the show.
Nope, and we'll see you guys next week.
You can follow me on Twitter at Nick Lesogor, Lesogor. We just recently got on iTunes. Search iTunes Dirty Water News Fantasy Football Show. My co-host, Rob Gomez, however you want to say it, at Bobby Gomes DFS. He won week 11. He won DraftKings $1 million prize, him and his brother. We just put up episode 5 today. I think it's July 29th. Just put up episode 5 today, so shoot over on iTunes or SoundCloud and listen to that episode. 3 straight weeks of 150 plays. Really appreciate all the support. It's been awesome. For the dead season, that's really good. Really appreciate all the support. So, and yep. Thank you guys for having me on the show.
Follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Lesogor. I'm Jesse Wilkins.
Yeah.
That's Rob Coakley. See you guys soon.
Stack and Smash Radio.